Let us begin these services by quieting and opening thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, holy and righteous God, as we pause before your word this evening, we ask, dear Father, that you would open our ears to hear the message that you will have for us this evening, and that you would open our hearts to keep that for our spiritual food on this narrow way that leads to heaven. Dear Father, we come here with many joys in our lives, but we also come with many difficulties. Each and every one of us have our cross to carry. Sometimes it may seem a little lighter, sometimes heavy. Remember us individually, dear Father. Feed us and nourish us in the way that you see best. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I have to echo, first of all, the thoughts of our dear brother this morning about yesterday, when we were able to gather in Minneapolis for the board members' workshop. Those are the kind of events that are, they are very beneficial. It's not always so easy to go there, but when you are there and on the way home, you are very happy that you went. And I went there with a brother from Phoenix, and we talked about the discussions that we had there in Minneapolis yesterday. We spoke about those matters on the way home, and also when we got home. So those moments are very, very nice moments. We're able to visit with one another and become strengthened in faith also. I thought I would read for our text from chapter 8 in the Gospel according to St. John, the first 11 verses from that chapter. Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and they had set her in the midst. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, and as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they had heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. We have heard from this text, read from this portion of the Bible many times, and this is a familiar portion. And I think that when we begin to read a portion that is somewhat familiar to us, we already know, in maybe not in great detail, but in general terms, we know what that Bible portion is about. But God is such a rich God that even though the same person would speak of this, we could say two times in a row, the sermons are different in some regard. And that is the prayer that we have this evening, that even though it's a familiar text, that we do still get fed by the Heavenly Father with whatever way He decides to feed us tonight. The portion that we read speaks of one person who was brought before Jesus, who had done a great sin. And she was brought before the Lord of life by, our text said, by the Pharisees. And at that moment, that woman needed to repent from her sins. And also the Pharisees, they also needed to repent from their sins. So everyone that were in front of Jesus, they needed the help and care of Jesus. When Jesus began his public ministry, the Gospels tell us that he began the ministry, and I believe one of the first words that he uttered was that the kingdom of God is at hand, and he urged them to repent from their sins. So in our text, that pertains to all those people that were before Jesus. And we also heard that they brought this woman before Jesus, and they told Jesus what the law commanded to do, the law of Moses. And they did this to tempt him, to try to ensnare him, to say something that was not correct. And So there was this tension between the Pharisees and Jesus at the time of our text. And I went back and looked in this Gospel of John, and I'm guessing this event that we read takes place, I don't know exactly, but almost halfway through the public ministry of Jesus. So when Jesus began, the different Gospels, they tell us differently or some events are left out in some, and some are in some, and so forth. But Jesus began, according to John, he has recorded that Jesus healed an impotent man. He was laying there by the pool, and he was not able to move. So he had this infirmity for 38 years. And Jesus healed him, and he said, to rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. So whatever comforter or some type of padding he had for his bed, whatever it was, he picked it up, and he started walking, and he left. And this happened on the Sabbath day, when they were not, by the law of Moses, they were not supposed to do any kind of work. And the Pharisees were very, very strict as far as what they were able to do. They could only walk a certain distance, only carry a certain weight, and so forth that day. And Jesus had healed this man, and he told him to rise and take up thy bed and walk. So this is what this man did, and he was stopped by the Pharisees. And they told him that, do you know that it's not lawful for you to carry your bed? Because it's the Sabbath day. So he then explained that he who had healed him told me to rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And he also said that now he doesn't know where Jesus is anymore. He had quickly vanished. So then the Bible says that therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So from that moment, according to John, the tension began to grow between the Pharisees and Jesus. And Jesus continued to make, he did miracles the next, I don't know how long, but people began to flock around him. And that was a threat to the Pharisees, because they did not believe that Jesus was sent from heaven. And I was trying to look. I did see, when I was at home, I looked. I found a portion where they also, when they reasoned that, how can this man say that he is the bread of life which is from heaven, because, yeah, it says that, is this not, the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he say, I came down from heaven? And then Jesus spoke to them, and he said that murmur not among yourselves. So we can see that the tension there is beginning to kind of tighten a little bit. And in our text, the scribes and the Pharisees, they had brought unto Jesus a woman who was taken in adultery, and they placed this woman in the midst of Jesus. And so Jesus had spent the night in the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he began to teach them. And while he was teaching them, they brought this woman in the midst there, and they said that this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So we can see that this teaching that Jesus was doing in that temple, it was interrupted by these scribes and Pharisees who brought this woman into that midst. And they said that the law, according to Moses, commanded us that such should be stoned. And then they asked that, what sayest thou? And they said this to tempt him so they can accuse him. So if we think about this woman for a little bit, we can obviously we see that she had lived a careless life. It doesn't give us a great detail about her life in the past, but I think we can get a sense of what her life was like. So she had lived very carelessly with no regard to God up until to this point. And God had gifted her with life, just like he has gifted all of us that are here tonight and every person who has ever walked and been placed on this earth has gifted them with life. And we know that the Spirit which God blew into the nostril of man, that spirit is made to never die. It is always alive. When the world comes to an end and we are taken to heaven, those that are going into eternal damnation, the Bible says that they are in pain day and night forever and ever. They will never die. So it is important that the life that we have been gifted with by God, that we take care of it the best to our ability. And more importantly, children of God, that we continue to put our sins away so we can be with Jesus in heaven. But also very important for those that are on the outside of God's kingdom, that they would hear the loving call into the kingdom of God when we speak to them about their condition. But so often it is that they pay little attention, very little attention to that, if at all. And their hearts are hardened, and we can easily detect that they are on the wrong path, that it doesn't lead to heaven. So this woman had fallen for the offers and temptations that the enemy of souls had placed before her. And our text says that she was caught in the very act of adultery. So her sins, she had a very serious sin on her conscience. And we can imagine that being placed there before the people and before Jesus, that this must have been a very, very humbling and low point in her life. She was a very sinful woman, and now they were pointing their fingers at her. And as we see in our text, we understand through the eyes of faith that she realized at this point that she has lived a wrong life. She had done something very wrong according to before the face of God, and that she needed to repent. And so these Pharisees and scribes, they were now there accusing this woman and explaining to Jesus that according to the law of Moses, that she is to be stoned to death. And we also, when Jesus came and began his public ministry and went through Passion Week and died and was resurrected from the dead, he also fulfilled the law to the last letter. And the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament time for the sins of the people, Jesus came and took that. He was put in place. He took that in its place. He was the perfect sacrifice who had lived the perfect life. No more sacrificial animals needed to be sacrificed to God on behalf of the sins of the people, because the perfect sacrifice was our Lord and Savior Jesus. They came there and we can see that they wanted to point out these faults of someone who had fallen into sin. And I think that it is quite natural, and sometimes we have to fight against it, even as God's children, that we don't go and spread sins that someone has fallen into, but rather that we go and help them and care for them and offer the message of the gospel to them. That is the best help that we can offer to them. So now this woman's sin or sins, they were made known to everyone. And she was standing there in the middle at the mercy of the ones that have accused her and brought her there, and the Lord of life. So they brought her there to tempt Jesus as to what he would do and what he would say, because they wanted to, our text said that they wanted to slay him. They wanted to kill Jesus because he had told that man that he healed to take up thy bed and walk. So we could say that this position where Jesus was in many ways, this was a very familiar position or situation that he was in. First of all, everyone that came to him, unbelievers and believers alike, they were in need of the forgiveness of sins. Some to repent from their wrong ways and repent from unbelief. And then there were some who came there to gather strength for their life, for their life of faith. So this was a very familiar position that he found himself in. And everyone that was there, they were in need of the forgiveness of sins. And we can find many places in the Bibles where Jesus speaks to those who are on the outside of God's kingdom, those that had done great sins against God. And yet Jesus spoke with them, he ate with them, and he helped them. He forgave them, and he comforted them. And the Pharisees, their ire grew stronger and stronger for every time that this happened, and they were made aware of that. So they continued, or they asked Jesus, that what do you say that should be done to this woman? And Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground as if he did not hear what they had just asked. So when they continued to ask him, he lifted himself up, and he said unto them, that he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And when he stooped down again and began to write again, the ones that were listening, the Pharisees and the scribes, certainly, this woman also knew when Jesus said that he that is without sin among you, let him cast a first stone. Certainly, this woman knew that she was not without sin. But the Pharisees, they thought that they could uphold their, or keep, you could say, their permission to enter into heaven by their own works. And when Jesus stooped down and wrote again, he had told them something that it pricked their conscience. And maybe their consciences were, they woke for a brief moment. And the Bible doesn't say what he wrote. And we trust that it's not important for us to know exactly what it was that Jesus wrote. But one thing that is obvious is our text said that they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. They left with all their sins yet weighing on their conscience. They didn't humble themselves before the Lord of life. Maybe it was their flesh or their pride that would have gotten hurt by confessing the sins that they had fallen into. And it is it's sad to think that they were that close to someone who would be able to permit them to enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus was doing the work that he was sent to do by God that would allow them to become the children of God. Jesus was going to die also for their sins, even if they did not believe. They still would have been able to ask for their sins forgiven even after Jesus died. Because he died also for their sins. He died for everyone's sins. Also us, our sins that are here today. So, in a very loving way, Jesus here spoke to those who were on the outside of God's kingdom. When the Pharisees and scribes brought this woman before Jesus and told him what she had done, I sense very little love there. As if they don't have any concern about trying to help her to put those sins away. That was not on their minds. But that was on the mind of Jesus. He wanted to awaken their hearts to their sinful condition and for them to repent. But they did not. And when they had left, Jesus was there says that Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. If Jesus would not have died, and defeated death and hell, and victoriously rise from the death on that Easter Sunday, those scribes and Pharisees, that woman that was there, and we that are here, and everyone else in the world would be destined to eternal damnation in hell. So this is not, it is not a small gift. We heard this morning through our dear brother just how precious this gift is. And we are reminded of it so many times. Many times in the very opening prayer, we are reminded. And may it be so that even though it is a familiar phrase that we hear, may we always remember how precious this treasure is that we own, that Jesus died, and what is left for us to do is to believe. We don't have lots of faith. We don't have enough faith to give to somebody else. We have just enough so that we are heaven acceptable. We don't have enough today for tomorrow. And yesterday's faith does not matter today. We are, even in that sense, we are the children of the day, that we believe one moment at a time. So this evening, dear brother and dear sister, I'm sure you have had many doubts and fallen into sins also. Uplift your heart and believe your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, all your sins are forgiven. Can I also believe my many sins forgiven? And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, that neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This message that Jesus spoke to this woman, it is a very comforting, it's comforting words that he says, to go and sin no more. I think that Jesus knew that this woman would not be able to go about her days in the future with no sin. She was going to fall into sins. Jesus didn't tell her that if you promise that you will not sin again, then I will forgive you. He knows each and every one of us, Jesus knew her very well. He knew that she was going to fall into sins. But she needed comfort, and she needed her sins forgiven. And this woman was left then to battle against the sins that she needed to battle against in whatever form they came. And we can see that in such a short moment, maybe just a matter of minutes, someone who was accused of a very serious sin, all of a sudden, she was not. Her outlook on life all of a sudden changed. If you remember the thief on the cross, he had the Bible doesn't say how long he had lived a sinful life, but in a blink of an eye, his future was also changed from eternal damnation to eternal glory with God in heaven. It is so for us also this evening that the greatest source for our strength, it is that we would put our sins away, that our footsteps would be light, and we can continue one more moment. Jesus came here to serve and not to judge and not to condemn. And here we see the nature of God. Jesus was God, as we heard this morning. Lovingly, he rebuked those on the outside of God's kingdom. And lovingly, he forgave the sins of someone who was desperately in need. And that grace and mercy is also available yet today to those that fall into sin. Believe again, all your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.